A prominent economist who sits on the Reserve Bank Board has criticised the government's assessment of the economic impact of the carbon tax. Yesterday, Treasurer Wayne Swan said that based on Treasury estimates, a carbon tax won't have a long-term impact on jobs and the economy. Australian National University economist Warwick McKibben says the government's modelling is flawed. Mr. McKibben, who runs his own software company, says the government should use his carbon pricing model. Finance reporter Sue Lannan.
It's no surprise that the carbon tax was at the top of the agenda at a panel discussion attended by the business community in Sydney.
Are we on the right track?
No, I don't think we are. I think both sides of politics haven't understood that the key to increasing investment in energy generation in this country, and it's not about the carbon price today, it's about the carbon price we expect to see in 10 years, 50 years, 70 years.
That's Reserve Bank Board member Professor Warwick McKibben. He's an economist at the Australian National University and has his own company, McKibben Software Group, which develops modelling for policy analysis, including a carbon pricing model. He took to task this statement made yesterday by Treasurer Wayne Swan at the National Press Club.
Today I can say that the modelling shows aggregate employment is approximately the same with or without a carbon price. By 2020, national employment is expected to increase by 1.6 million jobs. 1.6 million jobs, while at the same time growth in domestically produced carbon pollution slows. Now, for a government obsessed with jobs, this conclusion is crucial.
Mr. McKibben says he's submitted different modelling to Treasury, and he says the government should use his model in its estimates.
It would be very unfortunate if the leaked announcement that came out yesterday about the employment effects of carbon taxes was used in a model that wasn't mine, because mine is the only model that has unemployment. The other models that people have for carbon pricing actually assumes full employment. So by definition, no matter what you do to the economy, employment cannot change. What should happen if you put on a carbon tax in those models is real wages should fall. Now, from the selective leaking, I think that that question hasn't really been fully understood.
Mr. McKibben's term on the RBA board ends in July and he hasn't been reappointed. He's criticised the government's economic policies. Mr. McKibben told Lateline Business that a carbon tax could affect the cost of living.
If those models assume full employment, what could happen to real wages?
Well, that's the adjustment process in these models. If you raise carbon taxes and people lose their jobs, real wages will fall and therefore you go back to full employment. So the critical question in that sort of model is not what happens to jobs, it's what happens to the real standard of living.
The chairman of the US Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, has denied criticisms that loose monetary policy in the US is fueling inflation and higher commodity prices. Warwick McKibben thinks Australia is facing a trade shock once that stimulus ends.
So therefore, our terms of trade, or the terms of trade of a small exporting economy, is a mix of the excesses coming from the monetary side, and those prices we're seeing in oil, in other energy markets, in food markets, part of that is actually not real. It's going to go away when policies are tightened. And so if you look at our terms of trade, it's made up of a lot of factors, but a fair chunk of it is loose US and European monetary policy.
But Westpac chief economist Bill Evans thinks there will be more money pumped into the US economy.
So in effect, the US is going to be tightening policy in a month's time into an economy that is, as we saw with the unemployment story in that, with an economy that's very, very weak. So I fear a lot for the US in the short run and expect that eventually they'll have to do another quantitative easing.
Also on the panel was John Phillips, chairman of the Foreign Investment Review Board and a former deputy governor of the Reserve Bank. He defended the board from criticisms it's not open and says the decision to block the Singapore Exchange's takeover of the Australian stock market operator was justified.
I'm not sure how much more transparency there can be. If the Treasurer ever feels that it's a sensitive issue, he inevitably these days makes a press statement and says what he's done. I've been a fan of transparency up to a point. But the point is where you start to trample on commercial in confidence material from the applicants, or you run the risk of distorting the market by giving out information which would not otherwise be available to the market.
John Phillips, the chairman of the Foreign Investment Review Board, ending that report by Sue Lannan.